Kia ora. Welcome to the Arise Church podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. But right now, we're going to hear a message from myself, our Wellington campus pastor, Chris White. We really trust you'll enjoy today's message.
Leave the boat behind. It's all about faith, this series. Faith. Man, faith is what brings us here, by the way. Faith is what gets us tuning in online. We have this faith. We have this belief that God is real. There is something bigger. Maybe you don't even call yourself a Christian. I don't know. But majority of New Zealanders will believe there's something beyond themselves. Like, you know, surveys we've done over the years, majority of New Zealanders believe there is something beyond ourselves that you cannot explain through science, you cannot explain in other ways. Most New Zealanders will believe there's some sort of life after death, but they don't quite know what that looks like. And faith is that thing that we have to describe what that is all about. There's this chapter in the Bible, it's like the chapter of faith, it's Hebrews. We're going to read verse 1, and this is like the anchor for today's message. All right? It says this in Hebrews verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's trying to describe something that you can't tangibly qualify, you know? It's trying to describe something that it's really like God. How do you measure Him? How do you get him on the spectral analysis? You know, you just can't do that kind of stuff. It doesn't work like that. He remains unseen. He's hard to measure, but yet we can experience him and yet we know him. And just like we've been worshiping him just now, you actually start to see a glimpse of who he is, like the King of Kings. He is the God who comes and meets with us. He touches our lives. We tangibly know He's there, yet we don't have anything that we can see He's there by. I remember the first time in worship when I felt like God told me that He loved me. And I was actually an adult at the time. I had children. And I remember just getting down on my knees in worship, and I just started to cry. I couldn't contain it. I got up after that time and it was an old church carpet and it was like, oh, and suddenly I was all wet. And I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing, you know. But I tell you what, something comes over you when you discover who God is. It's a tangible experience that you cannot necessarily explain. It's something that is unseen, but you know is so incredibly real. And that's what this faith is all about. But I want to talk about something that's more than just that. Not just a faith of something that we believe, but in this series, we want to talk about a faith that makes you take a step of faith. That kind of faith. The kind of faith that would say, I want to leave the boat behind. I want to step out into the water and I want to see what God would do. And that's what we're going to do today. Can we pray? I believe God's going to move. So I just want to pray for us all right now. God, I thank you that your words produce faith. Lord, our words don't. Our words in many ways are kind of just an empty shell. But Lord, I pray you'd come and you'd fill these words today. Lord, fill them with your life. Fill them with your faith. And may faith grow in our hearts as we hear your word. We pray that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Fantastic. Well, there's this famous story in the Bible where Peter walked on water. And I don't know, like, how many people here have ever actually tried to walk on water? Yeah, like 100%. I gave it a go when I was a teenager, you know, at a swimming pool. You always give it a go. I'm going to see if it works. I really, really believe you step out and no, you fall in. But that's what happens. But I tell you what, there's this incredible story. So what happened was the disciples were with Jesus. They were by a lake. They call it the Sea of Galilee. It was just a lake, you know, only a quarter of the size of Lake Taupo, you know, so it wasn't even a big lake, you know. But there they were, and he sent them off on the boat, and he was going to go away and pray. And then night came, the wind rose, the waves came up, and then Jesus walked out on the water to meet them. Of course, they see him, and they're terrified, and they think it's a ghost. And he's trying to assure them, you know, like, guys, it's me, don't no need to be afraid. And then Peter gets this idea. I don't know where he gets these ideas. I would not volunteer myself for this kind of stuff, but Peter did. And he's like, God, if it's you, if it's really you, call me out and I'll walk on the water towards you. You know, and so we're going to pick it up from there. Matthew 14, verse 29. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. It's an incredible story. And we often kind of talk about, if only Peter had more faith. Man, I read that story and think, I wish I had enough faith to have even stepped out the boat and given it a try. You know what I mean? Like, at least he got a few steps in, I'm pretty sure. That's what it seems to indicate. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love that kind of faith. What kind of faith would it take for you to step out the boat and leave the boat behind? What kind of faith would that be? Because this is what I think. I think this journey that we have with God, it's not so much about sort of literally walking on water, thank goodness. But this journey with God, I mean, if we could go around this room, we'd have so many stories to tell of people going, I took a step of faith and this is how God came through. Stories that, you know, in face of hard and trying circumstances, people would say, yeah, I've seen significant things take place. And we realize this whole journey with God is about multiple steps of faith. This is what I actually believe. To have a growing relationship with God is to take courageous steps of faith. The two go hand in hand. To have a growing relationship with God is to take courageous steps of faith. You cannot have one without the other. Because even starting your journey with God, saying, God, I want you to come into my life. I want you to lead my life. That is a step of faith. And God's going to move significantly. So I got a few points which I believe God's going to speak to us through. And I want to encourage you to take notes because it makes me feel better. So the first point, is that all right to be that honest? Is that okay? Some people say you get to heaven. We know that's not true. It just helps the person who's speaking feel like, oh, you're actually listening. That's great. So the first step is this. First point is this. A step of faith will always be into uncertain circumstances. How do I know that? Because otherwise it wouldn't be a step of faith. Man, faith does not need the conditions to be perfect. In actual fact, faith was born for adversity, for conditions to be not perfect. Faith was born for the waves and the wind. Like, as I said before, if we could go through this room, we'd find story after story of people who stepped out in faith and the conditions were not perfect. People have started all sorts of things. A business when we're in a recession. People have stepped out and done significant things when they should never have done it. People have asked someone to marry them. By the way, if you want to do something that's fraught with risk, hey, you should consider getting married. You know, I tell you what, that is not, yeah, some people are like, oh my gosh. That's actually the truth though, isn't it? I remember when I asked Anna to marry me, and as soon as I'd asked her, panic set in. Like, people are laughing at me. It wasn't actually that funny at the time. And why did that happen for me? There's lots of reasons it happened for me. I had a member of my family had gone through a divorce. It was incredibly painful. I got to see that, you know, standing on the sideline. And for whatever reason, fear just gripped my heart. I'd asked her to marry me. Now I was full of fear. We went out for a celebration dinner the next night with her family. I couldn't eat a mouthful. Like, I'm there and I can't eat. I called Anna that afternoon. I don't want us to tell anyone else. Like, can you imagine how horrible that was for her? You know, like, she's thinking, oh, my man, he wants to shout it from the rooftops. No, he doesn't. He's freaking out, and he doesn't want to tell anyone, you know? And I tell you what, that's because I saw the wind and the waves, and my heart was absolutely gripped with fear. But 26 years on, man, I reckon that was one of the best decisions of my life. She's an amazing woman. She's incredible. I love the way she is as a wife. I love the way she is as a mom. I love the way she is with other people. I feel like I hit the jackpot. You know what I mean? Like, I really do. And I just think no matter what situation we walk into, when God tells us to take a step of faith, and I felt God say, she's the one, you should ask her now. I actually felt like he was shoving me into it. Go, ask her now. And then I did, and then I'm filled with panic. But I tell you what, I never changed my mind. Like, God, I know you've said it. Despite the fear, man, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm so glad that I did. So glad that I did. But the Israelites, God asked them to step into a promised land. He asked them to step into a new area. They sent out 12 spies, you know, under God's direction. They sent out 12 spies. 10 of them, we know the kind of story. 10 of them came back with a pretty dubious report. Two of them were full of faith. But all of them said, hey, the land is amazing. You know, they're carrying back this rich fruit. They said, unbelievable, you know, full of milk and honey. I don't know what that looks like, by the way. Filled with milk and honey and then you know, large fruit. But they're fortified cities. The people look like giants. We look like grasshoppers. And then Joshua and Caleb were like, no, guys, yeah, that's all true, but we can do it. With God on our sides, we can do it. But unfortunately, that fear had started to spread too far. So what happened was they never took that step of faith in that moment. They stepped back, and the next 40 years were a consequence. Aimless living, a second-rate life. That's what they got to experience. But to take a step of faith takes risk. It looks in the face of those things that are like the wind and the waves. It says, I'm going to step out. Our verse in Hebrews, I want to read it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you have faith, you're seeing something that you don't see in the physical world, but you know it's there. These guys like Joshua and Caleb, they knew God has said we can do it. This is going to be our land. The others, filled with fear, no, it will never happen. Both of them had faith in something. They just had faith in the opposite thing. And what they had faith in, that took place. It's intriguing how that worked. To step out of the boat requires you to believe for something that you just can't see naturally. A couple of years ago, like most of us will know, like Ed and Vic Manfred Bryant, they're national youth pastors. And a couple of years ago, like they had an event here in the Arise Center. And they wanted to, you know, every second Friday night, we have this amazing youth event here that takes place. If you've got teenagers, you want them to be in the room. It's phenomenal. And then as a one-off, they said, let's not just do it for our church. Let's open it up to lots of churches. And so lots of youth groups came. They call it For the City. And their goal was, we want people to bring friends, them to find Christ. That's the whole purpose of it. The night was amazing. So much so, it planted a seed in their hearts. They're like, man, what if this wasn't just a one-off? Like I was talking to Ed about it. I remember sitting in the car late at night. He goes, man, what if this could be a regular thing? Not only that, his vision was, what if this was nationwide? What if this was in multiple cities? Churches got together. Young people came along. They found Christ. They're now finding a youth group to be a part of. And he had this incredible vision. And he said, I want to do this full time. But the challenge was, no one out there is going, hey, we want to employ you full time to do this thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's no kind of parachurch organization that's doing that kind of thing. And I remember he's asking, he's knocking on doors. What's the way to do this? How can we make this happen? The wind and the waves were no income. Like, no one's going to pay me to do this. So what did he do? He stepped out of the boat. He actually stepped out of full-time employment. And he said, I believe, God, you want me to do this. And for him, he knocked on as many doors as he could find, but none were opening to him. Ed and Vic sent us this text with a few others a little while ago. So they formed a charitable trust. People have started to donate to that charitable trust. And he said, this is what's happened a year on from that charitable trust. Sent me this text. There's three cities have been launched with a few more in the pipeline. 11 youth rallies have taken place. One youth pastor's retreat. Three youth pastor trainings. This is all through For the City. Five different denominations represented. 67 youth groups engaged. 970 Bibles given to young people, and 1,282 decisions for Christ. Come on, that's worth praising God for. How good is that? And what's that from? Stepping out of the boat, saying, God, I don't see how these wind and waves are going to die down, but I believe there's something I can see. It's not physically present, but I believe you want me to step out into that. And that's the kind of faith that we're looking to have. Point number two. A step of faith will be met with God's provision. I want to encourage you, because you do see the wind and the waves. There are adverse circumstances, but you will be met with God's provision. When you step out, God won't leave you stranded. Like, look at Peter. He stepped out and then he stumbled, but God grabbed him. God will do the same for you. Even if you stumble and fall, he will grab you and put you back up and get you going again. That's what God's like. He does not leave you stranded. God promised the Israelites he would be with them when they actually stepped into the promised land. But the first time through, they missed it and they stepped back. The second time through, now Joshua is leading them. And I tell you what, the first step that he took was a miracle, and it opened the door for many other miracles. What am I talking about? Well, that first step, when he stepped in that, the Jordan River stopped flowing. What was the next miracle? The walls of Jericho came down. That was an incredible miracle. The sun and the moon stood still in one battle. That was an incredible miracle. In one battle, God hurled hailstones down on the enemy and killed more of the enemy than the Israelites did. Man, he was working on their side big time. In another battle, they got to see the commander of the Lord's armies. They would have seen none of that had they not taken that first step of faith. Had they been promised all those things would come, they had no idea what was to come. But the first step of faith opens the door for God's provision. Because God says, I will come through. I will never leave you stranded. When you go through the waters, I will be with you. You know, when you go through the fire, you will not be burned. God's opening up a step and he's providing things for all of us. Now, what lies on the other side of your obedience to Christ? What lies on the other side? If God has spoken something to you, and by the way, this is what I believe. If we have a growing relationship with God, then we will need to take courageous steps of faith. Some of them are small, some of them are big. But what lies on the other side of your step of faith? What lies on your other side of the step where you respond and say yes to God? Because that's the goal for us. That's what we're about, which brings me to my third point. The goal is obedience to Christ. It's obedience to Christ. That's the whole purpose. Go with me for a little bit. There's this passage of scripture, and Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and they had these apostles. He nicknamed them super apostles. They kind of like the best of the best, and they were saying, "You're not as good as them, Paul. You're not as good as them." And so Paul's like trying to prove that he is actually pretty good. It's a really weird passage of scripture. I'm going to read a little bit to you. It'll really encourage you guys. It says this, 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. This is what happened when you stepped out in faith, guys. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. He goes on and on. I won't include that. I didn't want to discourage you too much. Who's ready to take a step of faith, people? Come on. Absolutely no one. Oh, that guy there. I love that. Now, this is what stands out to me about this story. And this is not even the point of him writing this, but I'm like, man, that's his testimony. Not only did he experience all those things which seem horrendous, but he came out the other side. He came out the other side of those things. He's like, man, this is my testimony. God, you've taken me through every one of those horrendous things, yet I'm here to tell the story of that thing. I'm here to say, hey, I survived that, and now I'm on to my true mission. What's his true mission? Is this, in Acts 20:24, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Come on, his goal was, I'm going to be obedient to Christ and everything he calls me to do. Come on, let's give God some praise. And that's all we're called to do. Just be obedient to Christ. If God tells us to take a step of faith, man, we can assess the whole situation, put the scenarios out there, but what's our response? Just take the step of faith. Be obedient to Christ. Which brings me to my next point, which is very similar to the last one. The goal is obedience to Christ despite the outcome. Despite the outcome. Because many of us assess whether we've achieved it by looking at the outcome. Most of you kind of know, well, many of you know that I used to be in a band many years ago, and we were in ministry. We traveled around different parts of New Zealand and Australia, and we would spend a lot of time in high schools. You know, hopefully spreading the good news of the gospel, you know. And we used to often perform at Parachute Music Festival, which was in its day a significant festival, over 30,000 people would attend. And I think I must have played in that about 11 times over the years. And one year the organizers of the festival said, "Hey, what are we missing? What do you think we should be having here at the festival?" And we said, "Well, we reckon there's this opportunity. What if you had like one night where you had like multiple bands straight after each other, really short sets, then you get in a guest speaker and you preach the gospel and you give people a chance to find Christ, you know, because we don't really see that taking place." I said, "Great idea. You guys organize it." We're like, it's not quite what we expected, but they gave us a venue, like 1,000 people standing. It's an intense kind of venue. It was great. And we went to work. There's a bunch of different bands. Each of them had like 15, 20 minutes. And then I don't know how it worked out, but for some reason, they said, "Chris, you're going to be the guy that's going to preach." I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, it's not something I was very well used to." Here's the trick. As I felt God said this to me, he's never said it since, I felt like God say, "I don't want you to prepare your message." I'm like, "Oh, come on, man. That's a shocker." You know, if ever I'd spoken before that, it was always prepared. Even if I wasn't using notes, it was memorized, you know? And I'm like, "Wow, man, this is tough." But I thought, "Okay, God, I'll give that a crack." And so what did you do in the lead up to it? Oh, man, I just prayed. I couldn't prepare any time going over notes because that's not what God asked me to do. I just prayed. Started to pray for the people, started to pray for the event, started to pray for the opportunity. I was nervous. And I remember the night went on, we were one of the first bands on, we played a bit, then we went off, and I was standing backstage listening to the other bands, and I'm like, "What the heck am I going to say, God?" It was packed, standing room only, 1,000 people in there. And I'm like, "Oh, God, you know, give me something. The band's just finishing off, and I'm about to go on stage," and I heard God say, "I want you to tell them that I love them." Okay, that's something. That's something. I got to start. I got a first sentence. And I remember getting out there. The band was off. Thanked the band. And then I said that first sentence. I said, "You know what I believe? I believe God wants you to know that he loves you." And then I stopped thinking, that's the end of all I had prepared. I'm like, "What do I do now, God?" And then something just started to flow. I just started to speak. It had come out of the days of prayer that I've been praying for the event. And there was 1,000 people in there. They'd been hyped, they'd been going hard, and now you could hear a pin drop. I'm like, there's an anointing for salvation here tonight. And I'm just continuing to speak. I can't even remember how long I spoke for. But the next thing that was planned was a guy was going to go up and give his testimony. And unfortunately, that went badly. This guy didn't do a good job. He actually kind of then, when he finished, he got people to sit down. There wasn't enough room for everyone to sit. Some people standing, everyone's awkward. It's a terrible moment. He goes, "Okay, guys, stand on your feet, let's get hyped." And I hadn't even done an altar call yet. And the moment was kind of cut. It was ruined. I don't think a single person gave their life to Jesus that night. And I'm like, how do you think I felt? To be honest, I was gutted that had how it was ended. But another part of me, I actually felt this deep sense of peace and joy that I'd said yes to what God asked me to do, despite the outcome. It changed my perspective. What is mine to do? It's to do what God tells me to do, despite the outcome. Despite the outcome. That's all you can do. By the way, John the Baptist, what was his ministry? It was to be a voice in the wilderness, declare that, you know, the Son of God had come. Has this incredible moment. He says, "There's the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world." When he's talking about Jesus, he's there at his baptism. Jesus is baptized to hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. And then about 6 months to about a year or so later, things did not turn out at how John the Baptist expected it to. That was his mission, was to point the way to Jesus. But he was so disconcerted that he sent a disciple to Jesus saying, "Hey, are you the one that we're waiting for, or should we expect another?" Can I say, some people sitting in this room and you've said yes to God and you're disappointed with the outcome. You know, you said yes to him, you obeyed him, but you are not excited about the what's come about, I want to encourage you. John the Baptist was called the greatest man who ever lived. And if he could lose his way at all, we could too. But God produced the greatest outcome with Jesus Christ. Amen. He came. He lived a perfect life. He not only showed the way to the Father, but he made it possible through his death and resurrection. He was the complete answer. And sometimes you don't see the full picture, and I don't see the full picture. But yet God has a plan, and all we need to do is obey him. Amen. Can we stand to our feet right across the room if the band could come? We're going to take a moment. And we're going to reflect on what God's been telling us. But before we do that, I want to tell you this. God's told us to take a step of faith as a church family. He's asked us, I believe, to start planning services back in the city of Wellington, in the heart of Wellington City. Does that seem like it's got some wind and waves to it? Is that kind of like a perfect set of circumstances? Absolutely not. It's a perfect set of circumstances. It's going to require faith. Like in some ways, it doesn't even make sense. We've got a perfectly good building here. By the way, we are going to continue services here. We're not like not transferring everyone there, but we're going to continue services here. But we feel to throw the net over the other side of the boat and start services back in the city again. And it requires finances. It requires opportunity. It requires people to go, yeah, I'm in this heart and soul. There's many things that could fall over, but we believe that this is what God's called us to do. We're going to take a step of faith. Just this week, we had a staff prayer meeting. We're praying. One of the staff members had some pictures and images as we were praying for what's happening in the city. He came to me afterwards and he said, this is my picture I had. This is one of them. It was like there's a rugby pitch and the churches were on the field, but we were sitting on the sidelines. And I feel like God's saying, it's time to come off the benches. We're on the field again. And I'm like, that's a great image. That's a great image. God's calling us onto the pitch, calling us to get onto the field. It takes a step of faith to get on there. But I tell you what, when you do, we will see the provision of God. God's going to open doors. He's going to open doors for your life as you take a step of faith. He's going to open miracles that you have not seen before. God will do that as you take a step of faith. All we need to do is be obedient to him, despite the outcome, because God's outcomes are often way different than what we expect, but they are way more significant and way more powerful.
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa. See you soon.